brought to you by Penguin.
Winter by Len Dayton. Read by James Lely.
Author's note. This is how it started. It was Friday afternoon, exactly 2:20 p.m., and the snow was falling. The flakes that hit the car's windscreen were not the soft, watery sort that slide downwards and fade away like old soldiers. These were solid bullets of ice, perfectly formed and determined to stay put. These were German snowflakes. Our elderly Volvo was on the road heading west from Munich, with the cold waters of the Ammersee close at hand and my sons on the back seat politely starving to death. My wife was at the wheel. "The next place we see, we stop," I said. "It's getting late. I don't care if it's just a currywurst pan parked on the roadside." The next place was the Gasthof Kramerhof. It was a typical Bavarian inn, with a large restaurant that attracted locals and a few well-kept rooms for travellers. It was sited well back from the road and had an extensive parking area, which is often a measure of an inn's popularity. Now lunchtime had ended, and there were no cars there. The loops of tyre tracks that marked their departure were now disappearing under the continuing snowfall. But in such a Gasthof, all travellers are welcome and mealtime lasts all day. Soon we were relishing a Bavarian meal, Kraftbrühe, clear soup, followed by pork cutlets in a sour cream sauce with Spätzle on the same plate. Had I been better informed about German food, I might have guessed that the owners were Schwabs, for these were the long, square-sided pasta that is a delight of Schwabian cooking. Outside, the snow was conquering the world. The sky was steely grey and descending upon the treetops. Stacked on the Volvo's oversized roof rack, our bags and boxes now looked like a scale model of the Alps. What else was there to do? We stayed there for the weekend. That's all it took for the Kramerhof to become our home, and we remained there for many months. From the hotel room, we moved one floor higher, where I set up my portable typewriter in the attic rooms originally furnished for a mother-in-law. It was cramped under the steeply sloping roof, and I banged my head a lot, but this was the sort of Germany I wanted to write about. All the events of the neighbourhood were celebrated there under our noses, from weddings, complete with amateur brass band, to hunting dinners, from which the smell of wine-rich venison drifted upwards to reach us in the early hours of the morning. My wife's fluent German impressed the lady in the village post office, and we soon knew everything about everyone. There was enough social life to furnish a dozen lurid novels. Retired military men abounded. I met a relative of General Galen, one of the very few spies who influenced history. The Kramerhof food was wonderful. The customers were entertaining, and the owners became friends. They allowed us into the well-ordered kitchen where we learned how to make Schwabian Spätzle and much more. Winter was a biography of the Germany I had come to know over the years. We had lived in Vienna and in an Austrian village near Salzburg, which was now not all that far away, and my son spoke a strongly accented German. For many Germans, and many historians too, Germany and Austria do not have a separate existence. A.J.P. Taylor, who taught me so much about German history, persuaded me to consider both in unison, and for that reason the story of Winter begins in Vienna. One of our neighbours in Riederau village had a son writing for a newspaper in Vienna. At my request, he rummaged through the archives to find out what the weather was like in Vienna on the final evening of the 1800s. Now I had no excuse for delay. I knew what I wanted to say. I had been planning it for years. My hesitation had come from the problems of continuity. In the beneficial absence of formal instruction in the skills of writing fiction, I found it natural to write sequences in real time. In my book, conversations and physical actions as depicted were apt to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?